But while I was, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. with several missions to do. One of them was the laundry. And I was contemplating what I was going to be speaking on. And Lord and behold, can you believe it, that I actually didn't get a total changeover this time around. So we will be ending up in Hebrews. But there is going to be a little bit of a demonstration. I'm going to need a volunteer. No, sorry, Isaac, I would like to, but I need someone walked in. It actually is going to make a perfect volunteer. Linda, could you come here, please? You were volunteered.
No, she was voluntold.
No, that's the Marine Corps. The Air Force volunteers you. The reason why I've picked her out is, well, she'll understand in a minute. I'm going to show you something. This actually has something to do with what we'll be speaking on. Anyone have an idea what this is?
Walkie-talkie.
Oh, walkie-talkie. Who else said walkie-talkie? Close.
A radio?
It is a radio. They're all radios, thank God. This is actually an amateur radio. And the reason why I'm saying perfect when she walked in is because her husband was an amateur radio operator, as I am. And you used to sit down and listen to the radio with him, correct? Now, there's going to be, now the demonstration obviously won't mean anything to anyone, but until I get later on in, but could you do me a favor? Just don't push this and transmit, because you're not licensed.
I know.
Okay, could you turn that on for me? Okay. It took you a second to find where to go, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's it doing?
It's just showing where it's the...
Okay, could you make it go... scan up, please. Oh, just skip over that conversation.
Is it?
Oh.
I forgot.
You've forgotten how, huh? Okay. Well, then you might need something to help you guide you through it, right?
There it is.
Okay. Can you make it go backwards now? Scan backwards? Need a manual, huh? Here.
Thanks.
Just wait.
I gotta go through this now.
Take a good look.
What, at this?
Yeah, is that the right manual?
Oh. VX17L.
It's not the right manual, so that wouldn't help you.
No.
Even though that's a radio, right?
Right.
You would need this one, correct?
Right.
I handed her a different manual. Wouldn't do much good for her to, by the way, to make it scan backwards, push down.
Oh, okay.
That's all there is to it. Now, in amateur language, someone who teaches you is called an Elmer. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
The reason why I did that was to show something. We have a lot of people out there to go to churches. There's a lot of churches out there. A lot of them believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God. But they have different manuals, and if they go by one manual and you happen to be you're brought up using this radio here, you walk into another church and they hand you this manual, it's not going to make any sense to you. And what I mean by the manual is the doctrinal differences between the churches. Now, the reason why I brought Linda up was because Chuck was an amateur operator, which means that he was schooled in how to use his radios and what to do. But does that mean that what he was schooled in just passed on to his wife or other members of his family? No, it doesn't. Now, the teacher, as we call them, they're called Elmers. And I don't know why. They call them Elmers. I guess it relates to Elmer Fudd. I don't know. But we all have a manual, the Bible. Very good. You've been skipping ahead. I love that. And we have the ultimate in teachers. Where is the teacher for us? Where, Isaac?
At school.
For you, yes. Now, to come to back to where we're at, where's our school?
Inside.
Church.
Here, in the building? Yep.
The body.
You're partially right. You're partially right, Isaac. You're doing good. Yes, it is the body, what Meme had said. And where is the temple?
Right here.
Very good, Isaac. Yes, we are the temple. Now, all this comes in because we are going to go to Hebrews 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10, verse 1. I'll be using the NIV. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So, a shadow of something. We all know what a shadow is. It can look real nice on the sidewalk or on the wall. But you go to touch it, it feels like what?
A wall or a floor.
Whatever it is that the shadow fell on is what it feels like. It is not the actual item or that person or that building that cast it, is it? No, it doesn't. But can a shadow bring comfort?
Yes.
It sure can, especially on a hot day, right? Mm-hmm. Getting the shadow of a tree, a little bit of a breeze. Do you think the law brought comfort to people? I think so. I think it still does. I think the law is still very much a comfort zone for people. So now as we read a little bit further into the second one, for this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Well, that's the end of verse 1. I'm sorry. Now verse 2. If it could, they would not have stopped being offered. For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are annual reminders of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That was verse number 4. Question. Are people still performing sacrifices today? It's okay, Isaac. You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. You can just nod or whatever. But thank you for being polite. Are people within the church of our Lord Jesus still making sacrifices?
Yes.
Yes, they are. So, what manual are they following?
Law,
the manual of the law. That is correct. Very correct. But yet here specifically it states that the law is but a shadow of what is to come. Now Jesus came, became that final sacrifice. You know, I've run into so many people over the years that have keep on kicking themselves for stuff that they've done years ago. You know, I can't go there. I can't do this. Lord can't use me because of blah, 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 blah. That was dealt with. That happened years ago. It was dealt with years ago. It was dealt 2,000 years before most of us were born. There is no excuse anymore to go forward in Christ. The only thing that stops us is right up here. You know, I've said it before here, and I mean it, that Archie Bunker was correct. The Lord says that we are carnally minded. The definition for carnal is meat. So when he said meathead, he was correct and he was looking at us. You know, it's true. It's all truth. Now, you go back over to the chapter 9. This is where it gets real interesting. Chapter 9, verse 1 of Hebrews. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first rooms where the lampstand, a table, and a consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had a golden altar of incense, etc., etc., etc. People today still look at the buildings as the churches. In my own life, I can't count how many times I've been accused of not worshiping in the correct place because I'm not in the right building. So, consequently, how can God be there? I have heard arguments from other churches where, you know, if we change out the seats, God's going to leave. Because we built this church. Judy, I'm not joking. She's looking at me like I got two heads.
Did you remove the seats?
There's people that get upset if you remove the pews from the church because it's been there forever. What?
Confirmed. My brother went through the same thing in Pennsylvania. They removed the pews and put in chairs, and people left because God wasn't there.
Wasn't there because they removed the pews.
Wasn't there, quote, unquote. No, he was there.
Now, here's another example.
We talked about it. We were, you know, but we also said how sad that we're just confirming because she didn't believe it.
No, she believed me. She just couldn't believe what she was hearing.
It just blows my mind.
Well, here's something else that'll blow your mind.
We are the church.
Yes, we are the church.
The living stone. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, no one's going to remove any of our seats because God has seated us.
You carry your seat.
Our seats can change and it's still okay because we're changing.
We're changing. The seat is the Lord.
I thought you were talking the chairs here. Wait a second. I meant the chairs change or they take out the pews or the church moves. The church I grew up in Westfield had to be taken out to put a new bridge in. And the people were like, our church, you know, so we had to rebuild the church. Even though they're closing down all these churches in the area, they went out and rebuilt this couple million dollar church. And some of the other churches that closed, they took different parts and brought it to the church. But the pastor wanted it all brand new. And a lot of people left church because he didn't want any of the old. He wanted it his
there
church.
There have been fights started in churches because somebody wanted to paint a table that was in the church. Well, you can't do that. When my grandma got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the tears fell on there. It'll lose its anointing if you paint it. The stupidity of the people. And this is what happens when you get off of the Word of the Living God and quit counseling with the Living God. Quit following the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who is our teacher?
Holy Spirit.
You should have seen the ruckus that somebody caused in the church. Yeah, I'm guilty. She remembers so vaguely, I'm sure. When I'm sitting there and they said, where'd you get this information? I said, from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit. What do you mean from the Holy Spirit? Well, he's our teacher. Yes, he is. But, here we go, getting the butts in the way. When that happens, when someone, a dear, loving Christian brother or sister, and they mean well, says, but, get ready. Because now your faith is about to be tested. Did you really hear from God? Are you sure it was God? What does that sound like? And yet that loving brother and sister really does not even know what happened. They don't realize how they were used or why they were used. They were really just trying to prod you to find out if you were seated in your convictions. But in the meantime, what seed is trying to germinate in here? Exactly. It was the same tactic used out in the desert. If "You are the Son of God." Every time he spoke to him, what did he say? If. Throwing that doubt in. What did he say to Eve? Did not God say? Just that little change of a phrase changes the whole meaning of the sentence. Come on over, Isaac. Still on for a while. I'll get your papers in 2 seconds.
Oh, those are hers, so she put them right there.
That's your rocket.
So, when you have just that slight change in a question, when you're dealing with people out there, be advised to watch for these things and what's going to happen. Where are we at now? When it comes to the law, people will guard it with their lives. How many people here are free in Christ? I would say all of us. In the areas that we are not free in, we're learning to be free in, are we not? And every time we get a new revelation of freedom, what's the first thing that happens to us? By who? Usually a loving brother or sister comes to our aid. There's always those that say, yes, right on, keep on going. That there's always those, are you sure? Can you show that to me in the Word? You know, I've run into, I like those better than I like the other ones. So at least they're open to change, they're open to read, they're open to see. You know, I don't know, I just have a hard time sometimes with strict law, especially when I see it coming out of myself. We all have law that comes in and out of us. But Jesus came. Okay, we'll go back to chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" The final sacrifice, the last one that was needed. I heard something real interesting on the radio or TV, I can't remember which, but I often question, because, you know, they said that Jesus was sinless, correct? Mm-hmm. I said, how can he be conceived in a woman and still be without sin? I have an idea, because it was actually explained to me on a medical show. Anybody know? Ladies?
Because no blood from the woman goes into the child.
The placenta does not pass any blood. The blood that is within that child is that child's own blood. The only thing that gets drawn from the placenta is nourishment and oxygen. It draws food, but no blood. So, Christ developing within Mary had no tainted blood, had all the blood from the seed, which was Papa. Yeah, Father God. So, I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, yes. There's another one you can throw in the face of those who say, it's impossible. Our own science, which they worship, says, ladies, your blood never passed into your children. You provided them life, gave them birth. They drew your blood, but they never had your blood go flow into them. I guess the only thing that you gave was the DNA pattern.
Half.
That was it, half the DNA. But no blood passage. The child developed its own blood pattern. Which stands to reason. You can have two different blood types in the parents, the child comes out with a totally different blood type. Go figure, huh? So Jesus became the perfect sacrifice because there was no sin within. which is great. Another nail in the coffin of non-believers. I don't mind it. But I do believe that they can be resurrected. As we've said so many times here, keep your focus forward. And I think that's about all the Lord has. Does anybody have anything to add to this? Any ideas, questions, statements? That's all I have. As Jessica would have said, share some hugs.
No, it was last night.